Stay tuned for Dialogos Radio, a weekly Greek-American radio program hosted by Michael Nevradakis here on WUSB Stony Brook.
Τον κόσμο γύρισα, είπα να σε ξεχάσω, μα σ' αποθυμίσα, σ' αποθυμίσα. Δελφίνι, δελφινάκι, πάμε πιο γρήγορα, πάμε πιο γρήγορα. Να δω τα γυριστά της, τα ματωτσινόρα, τα ματωτσινόρα. Ερχόσουν πίσω μου, λαβώ ματιά στο στήθος, το πελαγίσω μου, πελαγίσω μου. Δελφίνι, δελφινάκι, πάμε πιο γρήγορα, πάμε πιο γρήγορα. Να δω τα γυριστά της, τα ματωτσινόρα, τα ματωτσινόρα.
That was Yannis Kalatzis kicking off another week of Dialogos Radio with one of his all-time classics, Delfini Delfinaki. You're tuned to Dialogos Radio. My name is Michael Nevradakis, and I will be with you for the next hour, bringing you some great Greek music, some news from Greece, as well as the weekly Dialogos interview series. We're back after a one-week hiatus, as unfortunately life and bureaucracy sometimes gets in the way of us recording our program here at Dialogos Radio, but we're glad to be back. And today on our program, we will be featuring a detailed and informative interview with a prior guest of our show, the economist Kostas Lapavitsas, who is a professor of economics at the University of London. In this interview that we will be hearing today on the Dialogos interview series, Kostas Lapavitsas will talk about the ongoing economic crisis in Greece. He'll talk about the latest round of austerity measures and cuts that the Greek government and Troika are planning on imposing, and he will share his views regarding whether or not he believes Greece should remain in the Eurozone. This is going to be a very interesting interview, and it'll be coming up in just a moment here on Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos interview series. And also today, after our interview, we will discuss an issue that has been in the news coming out of Greece this week, namely the invasion of the headquarters of ERT, Greece's national public broadcaster, by riot police during the overnight hours of Thursday. So stay tuned for our analysis of this situation, which is coming up right after today's interview. But coming up next here on Dialogos Radio is the Dialogos interview series. Stay tuned. The the Diálogos Interview Series, our weekly segment featuring interviews on matters pertaining to Greece and the worldwide Greek community, coming up next here on Diálogos Radio. Joining us right now on Diálogos Radio is the economist and professor Kostas Lapavitsas of the University of London. Kostas, thank you, first of all, for returning to our program.
It's a pleasure.
We keep hearing conflicting statements recently from Greek politicians, conflicting statements compared to what is being said by their European Union counterparts regarding whether or not new austerity measures and cuts are needed in Greece and to what extent. Should we expect new measures in the near future, and what might these new measures entail?
The first thing to note is that some of these so-called new measures are not new at all. They're actually measures that Greece agreed to undertake previous months, and now the government, confronted with the need to impose them, is trying to renege on them. And these are presented in the press, which often doesn't follow these things very closely, as new measures. So that's the first thing to get clear, that Greece hasn't implemented fully what it agreed to implement even in June this year. And much of the debate is about that, things to do with pensions, for instance. Now, having said this, there is, of course, a real issue here. And the issue is the so-called fiscal gap and the so-called financing gap. The fiscal gap is basically the difference between expenditures and revenues of the government this year. The financing gap is basically the difference between what it would cost to service the Greek debt next year and the year after that, and what the Greek government has available to it to do so. Greece will need money in both respects, most probably, certainly for fiscal purposes next year. And the reason is that it's projecting a major primary surplus for next year. To generate that, it would have to take extra steps. These mean basically either cuts in public expenditure or increases in taxes. So these will be the new measures somehow, and we will see what the government will do. The government is trying to say that the gap is not very serious, it's 500 million euros. The EU and the Troika are arguing that it's 2 to 2.5 billion. I have no independent measurements to offer myself. I tend to think that the government is underestimating, and probably the EU is and the Troika are overestimating the gap, but there will definitely be need for new austerity measures to cover it next year, possibly this too. As for the financing gap, the cost of servicing the debt, the burden of servicing the debt, there's no question that Greece will need extra funds in 2014 and 15, and also money after that. There just isn't the money available to cover all the outlays for the next 2 years and possibly the years after that. Therefore, Greece will need extra funding in the region of 10, 11, probably more billion euros, between 10 and 20 billion euros. Greece will have to borrow that. The notion of going out into the open market and borrowing freely is laughable. Greece might do that for a small amount of money, but the rest of it will have to come from official sources. This would mean a continuation of austerity, basically. And you can think of that as new measures or as continuation of current measures. So that's what's at issue at the moment, because the government realizes that any kind of any steps of that nature, given the political situation in Greece at the moment, is dynamite. So that's the game that's being played. There's a bit of money in the treasury yet, and the government is trying tactically to negotiate some better conditions with the Troika in the coming period. It will lose, in my view, because structurally the gaps are there and they will have to be filled.
We have also been hearing about the apparent disagreement that exists between the IMF and the European Union regarding how to handle the situation in Greece. But we also see the same insistence on austerity policies, which many would say have not been working in Greece and which are based even on mistakes that have been admitted by the IMF in the recent past. Why do you believe there is such an insistence on policies and measures that have not been proven to be working?
There's nothing new in this, let me first of all say. These are standard policies deployed many, many times in the context of developing countries for the last 2 to 3 decades. We've seen these things many times before, and my colleagues and I at SOAS, the University of London, have spent years and years discussing and criticizing these policies. It's just so happened that they were applied to Greece, you know, a significant European country, and people thought that this was unprecedented and so on. There's nothing unprecedented about these policies. It's standard IMF, conservative, neoliberal thinking. If you've got a foreign exchange problem, which is Greece had, although it masked under the euro, but it effectively was a foreign exchange problem and an international trade problem, you impose austerity to deal with it. That's what happened to Greece. Austerity doesn't work. It works rather through shrinking the economy. Many of us knew that. It works through creating a disaster, basically. And in the international context, countries that had these policies applied to them managed to escape them either by, you know, blackmailing the IMF into a different position, or more fundamentally, by devaluing their currency. It was actually devaluation that allowed many countries across the world to, in a sense, bypass the negative results of austerity. Greece didn't have this option because it decided to stay in the euro. So in the case of Greece, you see the full effect and the, or I should say, the full flower of the policies of austerity. Now, there is no fundamental disagreement between the IMF and the European Union on this. In fact, systematically, the European Union has been a bit tougher than the IMF, but there is no fundamental disagreement. It's just that the IMF has had its own internal pressures, because a lot of people in the developing world have objected to financing Greece out of very scarce IMF funds. And the technical side, the economists of the IMF, worked out that this policy would never work without devaluation, and have said so. Whereas the Europeans, who could not say that devaluation is necessary because obviously they are completely attached to the euro, had a much more conservative position. I don't think that there is any serious prospect of a major disagreement between the two sides. The IMF is also concerned about the money he has lent to the country, and it is worried that Greece might default on that, because it's by now a significant amount of money. But I don't think that this is a major concern, and I don't really expect the IMF to walk out. I think it's a little bit of theater played here, a little bit of a game, you know, good cop, bad cop. And that will continue, I fear, for an indefinite future, or until and unless Greece itself makes a change by declaring a different strategy, a different set of objectives for itself.
Now, in looking more specifically at some of these austerity measures in recent months, we've seen a closure of vital public services, such as schools and hospitals in Greece. We saw the shutdown of ERT, Greece's public broadcaster, and we are hearing about further cuts, further firings that are to come in the public sector. In your view, can any tangible positive outcome arise from these new cuts?
Absolutely none. This is disastrous. This is national suicide. Greece is basically committing suicide in the glare of global publicity. This is a failed policy in every respect. The Greek economy remains in deep recession, despite all the talk by government sources. It remains in deep recession. Every single indicator shows that the country's economy just doesn't work. Unemployment is at almost at 28%. Contraction this year will be at least 5% if the country is lucky. Industrial output this August fell by 7%. Retail sales contracted by 14.4%. in June, and exports, about which so much noise has been made, contracted by 5.5% in August. Inflation, meanwhile, has become negative. This is an economy that's contracting, and contracting ferociously still. The notion that this economy needs further austerity measures in these conditions is so absurd. First-year students in economics ought to be up in arms about things like this. Now, will the economy remain in recession indefinitely? Well, of course not. At some point, the recession will stop. It will stop in spite of the measures adopted by the government and the Troika. It will stop because there's obviously a minimum of economic activity below which the economy is unlikely to contract. This might be next year, it might be the year after that. The tragedy is that after causing all this devastation, which might become worse if extra measures are adopted, after causing all this devastation and shrinking the economy, the tragedy is that stagnation is likely to follow after that. The notion that Greece has become lean and mean and it will now surge ahead is laughable. Greece hasn't become lean and mean through these measures. Greece has become hobbled, permanently weakened. Its productive structure has suffered an enormous blow. Industrial output has contracted from an already low base. It has lost a hell of a lot of capacity in terms of its labor force, loss of skills and emigration. The economy is in tatters, and every element of demand is weak. Aggregate demand is weak. Greece is likely to stagnate for a very long time after this incredible attack, austerity attack. And that's the biggest disaster facing the Greek people now, because they've come through, or they will have come through, this period of incredible difficulty to find themselves confronted with many, many more years of nothing, basically. For the youth in particular, for whom unemployment is above 60%, the prospects are very bad indeed. If I was in my early 20s in Greece, I would be desperately looking for exit, you know, for somewhere to go, to get a job, to make a living for myself, because there's nothing. There's absolutely nothing for young people, and there will be nothing in the years to come. So that's the reality of it.
On the topic of austerity, we are also seeing a continued insistence on the part of the Troika for Greece to push through a massive privatization program. And we're also seeing resistance to this move for more privatization. In your view, and based on the experiences of other countries where this has happened, what would the impact of these privatizations be for Greece?
Let me first of all say that the reason why Greece is pushing with privatization isn't so much the presumed benefits of replacing inefficient, supposedly, public management with efficient private management. The logic here, very explicitly stated, is to privatize in order to collect money to reduce the national debt. Very, very clear. It's been argued and it's been calculated and it's been included in the calculations by the Troika. It's clearly a logic of selling the family silver to pay off some of the national debt, basically. This is a faulty logic. This is a diabolically bad logic, because these assets, the ones that are successfully sold, are sold at knockdown prices. They're being acquired by very rich people who have access to finance at very low prices. There is no evidence that better management will follow, or that these people will put these assets on a more productive footing. And the monies that are collected and are supposed to pay off the national, or to reduce the national debt, are pitiful. I mean, these are negligible amounts. Greece owes right now 320 billion euros. Even at best, even if huge amounts of public property was sold, Greece would be unlikely to collect more than 5-10 billion euros in the coming years. The damage to the economy would be very substantial. The reduction of the debt will be insignificant. This is a mad policy. The sooner it's abandoned, the better for Greece and the better for its people.
We are speaking with economist and professor Kostas Lapavitsas of the University of London here on the Galagos Radio. Kostas, some economists who, while disagreeing with the politics of austerity are being imposed, also argue that it is too late for Greece to depart from the Eurozone and to chart its own course. Do you agree with this argument?
If it wasn't, again, so important for Greece, and if it wasn't so difficult, again, it would, in some ways, it would be comical. Because when the issue first emerged 3 years ago, many people argued it's impossible to leave the euro because it's so difficult and so complicated and so on. As things went by and it became clear that shaping economic policy in order to remain within the eurozone was actually a disaster, many people argued, oh, we should have left earlier. Why didn't we leave then? Because now we cannot leave. We're well into it. We've adopted all these measures. We've suffered all these negative effects. Now is not the time to go. Now is the time to stick with it. The logic was bad in 2010. It remains bad now. The logic in 2010, the logic of exit, was that, yes, exit would be costly. Of course, it would be a shock. I mean, this is what I argued, and so did other people. It would be a shock. It won't be very nice at all, but at least the shock will be over and done with fairly quickly, and the country's economy would be placed on a healthier basis from which some growth could come fairly quickly, judging by historical experience and judging by what the situation looked like for Greece in 2010. We weren't listened to. A coalition of forces and naked interests in Greece decided to go for the internal devaluation and austerity strategy, and absolute disaster followed. I mean, this is a historic failure. It's a failure of a gigantic order. In the case of Greece, this is war damage inflicted onto the economy. The question then is, what now for Greece? It is just as wrong to say that Greece cannot exit right now, because, of course, remaining within the monetary union for Greece is the surest way of never growing, never expanding. Yeah, the issue now is not one of avoiding the disaster, because the disaster has happened. I'm terribly sorry to say the disaster has happened. In 2010, Greece could have avoided much of it, perhaps, you know, if exit was done in the ways that I suggested and other people suggested. we could have avoided much of the worst of this disaster. It wasn't to be. Greece was forced into this, and the disaster has happened. The issue now is what to do, what path to follow to secure some kind of future for Greece and its people. The way I would like to put it then is this. Let's not start with the euro, because every time the question went back to the euro, it was very easy for all these people who supported austerity and so on to scare the Greek people, to create an ogre and to come up with all kinds of fantastic stories about what would happen if Greece exited this monetary union, what a terrible thing it would be. And in this way, they scared people. Let's not start with the euro. Then let's start the other way around. That's what I would say. Let's ask ourselves, what is it that Greece needs right now after this disaster has befallen it? What does it need right now to put its house in order, to have some kind of prospect of growth and higher employment and rising incomes for its people and a more just society ahead of in the years to come? What does it need? Well, I'll tell you what it needs. It needs three things. It needs, first of all, to abandon the policy of austerity and to abandon the policy of primary surpluses. That is a mad policy and it must be abandoned immediately. Second, Greece needs to reduce its national debt drastically. It needs to cut its debt drastically, and no one is going to do it this favor to it if it itself doesn't come out and say, I want a deep write-off. And third, Greece needs true, genuine, profound reforms. Not the reforms that the government is talking about, all this talk about reforms, which amount to destroying labor and cutting wages and making work impossible for people, but genuine reform. True, deep reform that includes public banks, controls over the movement of capital, cleansing the state, a technology and investment strategy for the country, protecting labor, and a whole set of other measures about education and so on that will put Greece on a different footing. That's the kind of reforms the country needs. Now, if you put it this way, you have to ask yourself, is this feasible within the monetary union? And is it feasible within the EU? My view is that it isn't. And Greece must confront it and must certainly get out of the monetary union if it is to have a chance of surviving. It is not for me to answer that, though. It is for other people who say that Greece can survive within the monetary union to deal with this. It is for them to persuade us that Greece can follow this necessary strategy and this necessary path while remaining within the monetary union. I wish them luck in proving it, because I'm sure that it cannot be done, but it is for them to respond to it. What I do know is that if the current policies dictated by the Troika persevere, Greece has got no future at all. That I've no doubt at all about. That's the path to nowhere. So let's put different strategies on the table, and let other people who support the euro prove that an alternative strategy that makes for growth is feasible within the monetary union. The onus is on these people, not on those who've been arguing against the euro from the beginning, because they have been proven right. The euro has been a disaster.
For many ordinary people in Greece, the impacts of the austerity measures these past few years have been destructive. You mentioned, of course, the very high unemployment, for instance, especially among the youth. What would happen if Greece took these measures that you just suggested and stepped out of the euro, left the eurozone? What would the impact be, not so much on the national economy, but for the average person and family in Greece?
Unemployment for the youth is 60% at the moment, above 60%. Average unemployment is approaching 28%. This is measured unemployment, official unemployment. Depends on how you slice it. It might be even higher than that. There are entire neighborhoods in Athens where no one holds a job. There are people who haven't got enough to eat, people who can't make ends meet, hundreds of thousands of people and families in which there is no regular income. What exactly would be worse? I don't see what would be worse for families like that if a different path was followed. What exactly is this disaster that's going to befall people? If you add to, if you go a bit further, what you're going to see is this. Middle-class people who still have a job in Greece and still have some kind of income typically own some real estate. This has been the way in which Greeks have saved and created small property for themselves and their family. This was the preferred way for reasons of economy. For these families, the reality is that real estate has completely lost its value. Real estate value has collapsed. And real estate is now taxed as never before. Taxed incredibly. The income from real estate is taxed. The value of real estate is taxed. The actual possession of real estate is taxed. Essentially, what we're witnessing is the state destroying property in real estate through devaluing it and imposing taxes. Now, what exactly will the middle class lose then? I don't see it. I mean, what exactly will be lost by stepping out of the euro? It's very hard to tell. So an alternative strategy, such as the one I've outlined. Never mind the euro, let's not get fixated on this, but an alternative strategy of abandoning austerity, writing off the debt, and undertaking genuine reform would offer hope, would protect labor, would begin to create jobs, it would make unemployment the target of policy, not the payment of debt. That should not be the target of policy. The target of policy should be unemployment. So it would protect labor, it would create jobs, it would begin to restructure the economy genuinely. It would stop reorganizing the whole of the national economy around the need to pay debt, because it will obviously default on the debt. And it would begin to give young people some hope that there might be a future for them in the country, so that they stop emigrating. And therefore, Greece would have a hope of having a productive economy in the years to come. There's only benefits to come from the kind of alternative strategy that I'm suggesting. No losses really for working people, given where things have gone and given how things are shaping up. Now, that's not to say that an alternative strategy doesn't have risks. Of course it has risks. Of course. And of course it needs a government that is focused, that knows what it's doing, that has a program, and that it is determined and decisive in what it does. There will be complications in the international arena. The international alliances of the country will come under pressure, of course. And the entire position of Greece in the world economy will have to be rethought. But yes, that's the reality of it. I mean, I did not cause this. I did not bring the country to this position. It was a whole generation of politicians that did it, and they have bequeathed this impossible position to the country. Greece is now in a terrible state, in it arguably the weakest it's been in the post-war years. Radical measures are needed. Yes, decisive acts are necessary. Let's get out of where we are and let's do something different.
Recently, the French Minister of Industry suggested that the euro as a currency is overvalued, and that a devaluation of 20% would allow his country, France, to create many thousands of new jobs. Do you believe that, playing devil's advocate here, that a devaluation of the euro would bring any benefits for Greece and for the eurozone as a whole?
A devaluation of the euro would indeed release some of the pressure, because it would allow, of course, EMU member countries to have more beneficial international trade relations with countries outside the eurozone. These have become more and more significant for Greece, these relations, in the last 3 years. And therefore, if the euro declined, yes, I would expect some benefit in terms of exports and so on outside the eurozone. And that would hold also for Portugal, for Spain, and potentially for France. But that would not really resolve the problem of the eurozone itself, because the problem there comes from within the eurozone, not outside it. The problem comes from the domination exercised by Germany over the eurozone market, the transformation of the eurozone into a domestic market for Germany. That's the real problem. And until and unless Germany changes its own policy towards its own labor and towards its own costs, and until and unless Germany stops thinking and understanding development and growth as a mercantilist policy of accumulating surpluses, nothing fundamental will change in the eurozone. Now, I see no change in Germany. No change, no hope of change, no prospect of change. Therefore, a devaluation of the euro, yeah, it would ease the situation a bit, of course, but it would not solve the fundamental problem. And let me say one thing. This crisis began in 2010 in Greece. It was understood as a Greek crisis then, and Greeks received a lot of essentially racist criticisms at the time. It then gradually became clear that this was a eurozone crisis, as the periphery, meaning Ireland, Spain, and Portugal, were also hit very hard. And it became clear it wasn't just the Greeks, it was also other countries. Now, the periphery has been browbeaten, basically, by Germany, forced to accept austerity. The governments and so on in the periphery have acquiesced to that. And an economic and social disaster has unfolded in several of them, above all in Greece. So this has stabilized the situation in a way, after a fashion. But the problem hasn't gone away. And the problem is now reappearing within the core. The problem that the periphery faced 3 years ago is now re-emerging in the case of Italy and France. Because, of course, they have lost competitiveness relative to Germany. And they know that as long as they remain in the euro, they have no chance. No chance of redressing the balance in the domestic market. Hence the comment that you came up with from French minister, that the devaluation might save us. Well, it won't save them. A devaluation will lessen the problem. But the reality is that France cannot compete against Germany within the eurozone. That's the reality. And that is not France's fault, let me say. That is not France's fault. France has actually hit all the targets set by the ECB with regard to inflation and unit labor costs. Actually, the country that has complied with the EU policy most closely is France. It is Germany that has undershot. The culprit is Germany for not paying its workers enough, freezing pay and keeping its workers under the thumb. And therefore, quite naturally, even though France met the targets, Germany acquired a competitive advantage relative to France. So France and Italy are facing an impossible situation at the moment. If they continue with current policies, they stand no chance of recovery, no chance of growth at all. If they adopt the Troika strategies, which were imposed onto the periphery, and the situation becomes stabilized in that way, what will follow in Europe will be a gigantic depression across the continent. It's an impossible choice. And that's the reality of the Eurozone at the moment. The situation has not been rescued, hasn't been saved, hasn't been resolved. And that is reflected in the comments that you mentioned to me made by French ministers who are hoping for some way out. There's no way out. There's no way out unless Germany changes its own policies.
Now, in closing, in your view, are there any political forces in Greece right now, or is there any political will from any direction in Greece right now to bring about the type of change that you suggested a few moments ago?
I am not very optimistic, unfortunately. My own view is that Greece needs a new government, desperately and urgently, because the current government, like the government before it, have done nothing other than apply Troika measures. The government of New Democracy and the party of New Democracy under Mr. Samaras is in some ways the least trustworthy of Greek parties because, of course, until the last election, they were making noises about renegotiating the deals with the Troika, opposing the Troika, and so on. Within 24 hours of taking power, they've reneged on everything that they had said the last 2 years. That is typical of old politics in Greece. The government of Greece at the moment is a personification of old politics. Nothing has changed fundamentally. It's the same people that brought Greece to its knees who are now running it and applying Troika policies. It's a sign of national failure, a sign of the inability of the government of the country to produce new forms of political life that would actually take it somewhere. So it's very, very important in my view for this government to exit, to leave the stage, and to create room for a new government and for new political forces. Now, obviously, the choice here is Syriza. There's nothing else that can realistically form a different government. I have to tell you that I'm not terribly optimistic there. Because I think Greece needs the government, needs policies and politics of conviction, belief, and clear direction at the moment. And I don't see that from Syriza. I wish it luck, and some of the ideas that are coming from there are not too bad. And I wish it luck because anything would be better than the current government. But I must say that I don't see the requisite degree of clarity regarding what the country must do and regarding what the difficulties it is likely regarding the difficulties it is likely to face. I hope that Syriza, if it forms the next government, will actually deliver a new path for Greece. And I hope that it sticks with its promises, because if it doesn't, and if it also reneges on its promises, then the political and social future for Greece will not be very good at all. I fear for some very nasty political developments and for the transformation of Greek polity into something that would be very, very unsavory in the years to come if Syriza doesn't deliver when and if it comes to form an alternative government.
Well, Costa, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us and to share your thoughts and your analysis with us once again here on the Dialogos Radio.
Thank you very much.
Attention iTunes users, the Dialogos Radio is now just a click away. You can now download our podcasts and listen to the Dialogos Radio 24/7 anytime, anywhere. Check us out today in the iTunes podcast directory and in iTunes Radio. That was this week's The Dialogos interview series here on The Dialogos Radio, where today we heard an interview with economist and University of London professor Kostas Lapavitsas. And as we just heard in our promo a few moments ago, this interview and all of our past interviews will be available as a podcast in iTunes, on our website, dialogosmedia.org, and also in tunein.com and in the BlackBerry podcast directory. And coming up in just a few moments here on The Dialogos Galagos Radio is some news from Greece, and specifically a discussion about the Greek government's latest actions against ERT, Greece's national public broadcaster. Early on Thursday morning, during the overnight hours, the government sent riot police to storm ERT's headquarters, ordering that the premises be vacated and arresting several journalists. We'll discuss this breaking story in more detail in just a few moments, after some music here on the Galagos Radio.
Περιμένουμε το φως άλλης μιας μέρας. Ανοίγεις τα παράθυρα να αλλάξει ο αέρας. Μα έσβησε η φλόγα, το σπίτι σκοτεινό. Παρέθηκα τα λόγια και φεύγω πρώτα εγώ. Δεν μένω πια εγώ. Σε ένα κόσμο κρεμισμένο, δεν μένω πια εγώ. Κι ούτε ξέρω πού πηγαίνω. Μια ζωή κουράστηκα μαζί σου να παλεύω. Φτάνει πια να έρχεσαι μόναχα όταν φεύγω. Μείνω τώρα μόνος σε άλλη γειτονιά. Και είναι αυτός ο πόνος, αρρώστια και γιατριά. Δεν μένω πια εδώ. Σ' ένα κόσμο κρεμισμένο. Δεν μένω πια εδώ. Χώρισε. Δεν είναι αυτό που με πονά. Είναι η αγάπη που δεν χώρεσε. Τα πιο βαθιά μας μυστικά.
The Galagos Radio on the go with you with the new The Galagos Radio app for Android devices. Now you can listen live to The Galagos Radio and The Galagos Radio 24/7, download our podcasts, and read our latest articles all in our free Android app, available now in the Google Play Store. We just heard Nikos Portokaloglou here on the Galagos Radio with a song titled Δεν μένω πια εδώ. This is the Galagos Radio with Michael Nevradakis, and right now I thought I would take a few moments to provide some insight into a breaking story that is coming out of Greece this week. Some of you, if you have been following our program, and of course if you have been following current events in Greece over the past few months, may be aware that on June 11th of this year, the Greek government ordered the immediate shutdown of ERT, Greece's national public broadcaster. This shutdown was supposedly ordered because ERT was a wasteful, bloated, spendthrift public organization, according to the government at least. But as we have seen over the past few months, the likely reasons for this very sudden and unexpected shutdown likely had more to do with pressures coming from the Troika, the International Monetary Fund, the European Union, and the European Central Bank, as well as from sentiments that existed within the government itself, as ERT was not seen as being fully loyal to the government and to its policies. And since ERT was shut down on June 11th, many of its employees continued to produce both radio and television broadcasts in protest. These broadcasts were available via the internet, often via satellite, and in some parts of Greece also through over-the-air television and radio broadcasts as well. These broadcasts were often highly critical of the government, but perhaps for the first time in Greek broadcasting history, these broadcasts were also truly open to the public, to the poor, to workers, to students, to members of labor unions, and to ordinary citizens who were and who are suffering under the relentless austerity measures that are being imposed by the government and by the Troika. And throughout all of this, ERT faced numerous challenges as its signal was taken off of various satellites on several occasions, in each case due to pressure from the Greek government against those satellite providers that were providing the broadcast. And during all this time, ERT's employees, which continued to operate out of ERT's headquarters in Athens and other ERT facilities throughout the country, were under threat of being arrested or being the victims of a raid by riot police on ERT's facilities. This raid finally happened at approximately 4:30 in the morning, early on Thursday morning, when most of Greece was still asleep. Hundreds of riot police stormed ERT's headquarters, ordered out all of ERT's employees who were inside, and arrested at least four journalists and staffers of ERT who were on site. And despite the very early hour, the news traveled very quickly, and we here at the Dialogos Radio, through an article that we posted within an hour of the raid and through continuous updates on our Twitter account in particular, were among the first media outlets, not just in Greece, but in the entire world, to get the word out in both Greek and in English about what was happening. And this is something that we are very proud of here at the Dialogos Radio. The details about everything that happened today remain a bit murky, as prosecutors were originally blamed for ordering the police raid, but prosecutors later denied any involvement. And what we later found out later on Thursday morning, was that the riot police raid of ERT's headquarters was a direct order of the Greek Prime Minister Andonis Samaras and the Vice President of the Greek government Evangelos Venizelos, or Turkoglu. The prosecutors and the riot police who stormed ERT did not have any warrants or any official paperwork with them, and those who were arrested were not presented with any charges or any reason for their arrest. Throughout the day, various statements by members of the government mentioned how this raid was necessary to, quote, restore order and to, quote, restore the rule of law, and that access to ERT's headquarters is necessary for the government, as the Greek government claims that it needs access to television studio and production facilities as it prepares to take over the rotating European Union presidency on January 1st of next year. What is blindingly obvious to anyone who understands Greek politics, and especially how the current Greek government operates, is that this tour de force was not only another excuse to demonstrate the strength and the zero tolerance of this government toward anyone that opposes it, but it was also a convenient way to get some other rather inconvenient stories out of the news cycle. The Troika is in Athens this week demanding further and deeper cuts to pensions, demanding closures of hospitals, privatizations and sell-offs of public utilities, and further layoffs in the public sector at a time when unemployment is already above 28% in Greece. And the Greek government, as we begun to hear on Wednesday evening, is also prepared to liquidate and to eventually shut down the Hellenic defense industry under orders of the Troika. It is also preparing to once again allow foreclosures of homes, including people's primary residences, as of January 1st of next year. And earlier this week, the Greek government also passed a health bill, which included language that is completely unrelated to healthcare, namely an article which legalized all of Greece's private television stations, which were operating as of August 31st, even at least stations were previously and uniformly not operating with a valid broadcast license. So in essence, this was a gift to the major media oligarchs and to the major business moguls that rule the Greek airwaves. We've written in more detail about this situation in our article, which was published in Le Daily Kos, and you can find this article by checking out our website, dialogosmedia.org, or by looking us up on Twitter or Facebook, just by looking up Dialogos Media. And what we promise is that our coverage of the day's events beats out any of the major media organizations, whether it is the New York Times, the Guardian, the BBC, or anyone else. And as for the Greek government, such a move was unfortunately not a surprise for us, at least in the slightest. We feel that it proves once again how undemocratic and indeed how totalitarian this current government in Greece is, how little it respects freedom of speech, rule of law, and democracy, how much it is lacking in transparency, and just how brutal it can be when it decides to do so. So shame, shame on the Greek government, and shame on anyone who has supported them and who continues to support this government as it dismantles the Greek economy, Greek democracy, and the Greek society. This is the Dialogos Radio, and we'll return to some music now. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Εγώ δεν θέλω γιατρικά γιατί έχω φίλους. Εσύ κρατάς τα μυστικά, τα δένεις κόμπους χιλιούς. Σε μάλωσα μια μέρα και το έγραψες, και εσύ σε μια ώρα όλα τα ξεγράψες. Σε μάλωσα μια μέρα και το έγραψες, κι εσύ σε μια ώρα όλα τα ξεγράψες. Εγώ δεν θέλω να ξεχνώ τα τόσα βάσανά μου. Στα δάχτυλά μου θα μετρώ τα αμαρτήματά μου. Σε μάλωσα μια μέρα και το έγραψες, κι εσύ σε μια ώρα όλα τα ξεγράψες. Σε μάλωσα μια μέρα και το έγραψες, κι εσύ σε μια ώρα όλα τα ξεγράψες. Τη λύπη μου θέλω να ζω όπως και τη χαρά μου. Σήμερα μαύρα να φορώ και αύριο τα καλά μου. Σε μάλωσα μια μέρα και το έγραψες, κι εσύ σε μια ώρα όλα τα ξεγράψες. Σε μάλωσα μια μέρα και το έγραψες, κι εσύ σε μια ώρα όλα τα ξεγράψες.
και μπουκάλες. Δεν θα γυρέψω νοσηλεία στα σινεμά και στα βιβλία. Πάω να διάσω το τασάκι και αυτό το σκούρο σου σακάκι. Θα το πετάξω απ' το μπαλκόνι να βρω κανένα που κρυώνει κι εγώ. Να βάλω τα μεταξωτά και να φυσάει στα εργοστάσια μπροστά και στα σκουπίδια πλάι. Να μπερδευτώ με τους εργάτες από το μόνο μου στις γάτες και στη φουφού του καστανά στάχτη να γίνεις σατανά. Έχει ψυχρούλα και μ' αρέσει κι αν δεν μου πάει θα σπάσω μέση. Η αγάπη πάει με μπαστούνι κι εγώ με γκάζια στο τακούνι. Το άσθμα μου κι ο βρυχυθμός μου στα ραδιόφωνα του κόσμου. Με τρύπια βάρκα και ναυτία βγαίνω λοιπόν στην πειρατεία και εγώ. Να βάλω τα μεταξωτά και να φυσάει στα εργοστάσια μπροστά και στα σκουπίδια πλάι. Να μπερδευτώ με τους εργάτες, να πω τον πόνο μου στις γάτες και στη φουφού του καστανά στάχτη να γίνεις σατανά. Να βάλω τα μεταξωτά και να φυσάει στα εργοστάσια μπροστά και στα σκουπίδια πλάι. Να μπερδευτώ με τους εργάτες, να πω τον πόνο μου στις γάτες και στη φουφού του καστανά στάχτη να γίνεις σατανά.
Diálogos Radio 24/7, our online radio station which features the best mix of great Greek music, plus programming and interviews from the vast Diálogos Radio archive. Tune in through our website, dialogosmedia.org, in iTunes Radio, or at tunein.com.
Το κλέψιμο ή το ζόρι να δίνουνε τη θέση του στη σχόλη στην γιορτή. Αλλή κι αν υποψή
βιαστεί στα σπίτια και τους δρόμους, σε έρωτες ευθύμερους και σε φτηνό αλκοόλ. Πως αύριο είναι Κυριακή, μια μέρα που σκοτώνει, κανένας δεν το σκέφτεται στις μέθη στο ρυθμό. Κι είναι συνήθεια παλιά το Σάββατο στην πόλη, κάθε κατεργάρι νοικοκύρη συνταγή. Το κόβερα δεν ξύλωνε, το κλέψιμο ή το ζόρι, να δίνουνε τη θέση του στη σχόλη στην γιορτή. Μας αλλάζει πάλι όψη και στις ισορροπίας της γυρίζει το σκοπό. Κι είναι συνήθεια παλιά το Σάββατο στην πόλη, κάθε κατεργάρι νοικοκύρη συνταγή. Το φόβερα δε ξύλωνε, το κλέψιμο ή το ζόρι, να δίνουνε τη θέση του στη σχόλη στην γιορτή. Κι είναι συνήθεια παλιά το Σάββατο στην πόλη, κάθε κατεργάρι νοικοκύρη συνταγή. Το φόβερα δε ξύλωνε, το κλέψιμο ή το ζόρι, να δίνουνε τη θέση του στη σχόλη στην γιορτή. Κι είναι συνήθεια παλιά το Σάββατο στην πόλη, κάθε κατεργάρι νοικοκύρη συνταγή.
Follow the Alagos Radio on Facebook and Twitter and remain connected to all our latest news and updates. Check us out today at facebook.com/thealagosmedia and at twitter.com/thealagosmedia. We just heard Kostas Thomaidis and Tania Tsanaklidou with Tarantella here on the Alagos Radio. And before that, we heard Eleni Peta with Navalota Metaxota. And that set of music began with Eleni Limu and a song titled Echo Filus. And with just a couple of moments left in today's broadcast, allow me to announce what's coming up on next week's broadcast of the Alagos Radio and the Alagos interview series. You'll definitely want to stay tuned for this broadcast, as we'll be featuring a marquee interview with John Perkins, who is the author of the best-selling book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. John Perkins will talk to us about how economic hitmen, as he calls them, representing major corporations and major international organizations, like the International Monetary Fund, target countries like Greece and drag them into debt, and then impose harsh austerity and privatization programs on those countries, grabbing those countries' wealth and resources at bargain prices and causing untold suffering. Perkins will talk about his experience being one of these economic hitmen for many years, and he will address what is happening in Greece and in the European Union in this interview, which you will not want to miss. So that's coming up next week here on the Alagos Radio and on the Alagos interview series. We'll be back on the air again 1 week from today, same time, same place, and until then, I will bid you farewell with one final song. This is by Eleftheria Aravanitaki, one of our favorites here on the Alagos Radio, and the title of this final track that we'll hear is Na Me Thimase. Thank you very much for joining us again this week on the Alagos Radio, and have a great weekend.
Στα μάτια, παιδιά.
ζητάστρο και σ' αδηγείς. Ο ήλιος πλένει το όνειρο της γης. Πλατή ποτάμι αγάπη και βαθύ. Κουράστηκε και πάει. Μικρό φιλί.